Thank you, Greg and team, and good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. And before I get into this morning's message, I want to just give you an update and also express thanks. You are just incredibly good to our church staff, and all of us very much appreciate that. But a special thank you comes from the Borden family today. Brian and Gina spoke with them yesterday afternoon, and little Jaden is doing just so very well, and we praise God for that. He had a very complex surgery this past week, and the surgery did what it was designed to do. He is now off his heart-lung machine, and he's adjusted beautifully, resting well. But they want you to know that they sense, feel, and appreciate your prayers, your support, and just sort of every place they put a foot down. This church family has been there to be, in essence, God's instrument. So I wanted to give you that update and express, I'm just sort of their mouthpiece to you today to express their thanksgiving for how little Jaden is doing. In our message series today, we're continuing with this series called Here and Now, taking a look at some pretty outrageous statements of Jesus, and today is one more, another very outrageous statement. It comes from a section of Scripture that we've read earlier this morning from Luke chapter 9. I'll not read it right now. It's already been read earlier. And here are the words of Jesus, just these an outrageous thing to say when he says, "Follow me." Just follow me. Not just geographically going from point A to point B, but imitate my lifestyle. Whatever you see me doing, what you hear me saying, I am asking you to imitate me. I mean, that's a bold, bold thing to say. The Apostle Peter, in talking about Jesus, said that Jesus left us an example. The word there is pattern. We don't get a lot of snow here, but most of us have been in settings where, you know, we've seen snow, been in it, and we've maybe when we were younger, we stepped in another person's footprints and just, you know, put a foot here and then there. And that's the picture that Peter paints for us. Christ left us an example that we follow in his steps. The Apostle John says that if anybody knows God, you walk as Jesus did. But what I'd like to do here for a few moments today is I'd like to describe Jesus. I want to as if you didn't know him, or as if maybe you know him as a historical figure, I'd like to describe Jesus up close and personal. And I'm going to do my best to give you a description, and I'm going to use three simple words. I'll give them to you up front. Strength, sensitivity, and simplicity. Let's start, and let's talk about Jesus as a strong person. And I would begin and mention that Jesus, I believe, was physically strong. Except for the last 3 years of his life, Jesus was a carpenter, and he didn't drive around in a pickup truck with leather seats. I mean, it was a very labor-intensive occupation. He did his own masonry work. He would go into the forest himself and fell a tree. Physically, it was a demanding occupation, and I believe that Jesus physically was a strong person. I'm not saying he's the strongest person physically who ever walked, but that's my picture of Jesus. He's a strong person. But his strength goes far beyond the physical. He was mentally strong. He was mentally strong. He was absolutely clear about his identity and his mission, and nothing could seduce him. Nothing could distract him. Nothing could derail him. He had mental tenacity and toughness. And it takes a lot of internal strength and mental toughness to stay on mission and to stay focused and to not get off into a path that's easier and avoid the side streets. But Jesus had that inner strength, and he displayed it all through his life, all the way to the end, and a person of lesser mental strength would have probably screamed along the way, "Look, who needs this? I don't need this. I don't need all these hassles. I don't need this pain." Can you imagine getting nailed to a cross? At that point, you would say, "Who needs this?" But Jesus was mentally strong. And he was also emotionally strong. He was a teacher. But his message was met with flat-out defiance from the entire religious establishment of his day. They asked him one trick question after another, trying to embarrass him. They lied about him. They spread half-truths, trying to discredit him. On occasion, they tried to physically intimidate him. In other words, whatever he said, whenever he said it, there was usually somebody booing and hissing. On one occasion, even his disciples turned and walked away because simply the heat level was too high. And this takes an unbelievable emotional toll on a leader, an emotional toll on a teacher. It's tough to do that. Some of you are leaders. It takes emotional strength to stay at it week after week, year after year. Jesus is a strong person, not just physically, but mentally strong. You know, it is said that Tiger Woods is so mentally tough. Why? Because he can stay focused even though there are all kinds of distractions. That was Jesus. Jesus was, the most mentally strong person ever. He refused to get sidetracked. Emotionally strong. You've heard me say before that I think one of the best definitions of maturity is maturity is going from a thin skin and a hard heart to a thick skin and a soft heart. And that's Jesus. But he's not just tough physically, and he's not just tough mentally, and he's not just tough emotionally. He was tough in those ways. And he came to present a message, and he said, "My Father gave me a message, and I will proclaim it. I'll not modify it. I'll not cave in. I'm not going to back off. Whether you applaud me or arrest me, whether you receive me or reject me." He was mentally, emotionally strong, but also he was morally strong. It's interesting when you read about the private, life of certain high-profile people. And you read about their behavior sometimes behind the scenes, and get ready, fasten your seatbelt, because more often than not, there are some skeletons in the closet. But Jesus, get this, is completely different on this level. Morally, Jesus never hit a foul ball. Morally, Jesus never struck out. Morally, he overcame every temptation that came his way. And when accusations, and people love to throw accusations against him, he would stand out there and he would say, "Come on, make one stick. Go ahead. Feel free. Make one stick." I wouldn't do that. I don't advise you to do that. Jesus did that. Peter said it like this: "He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth." Folks, for a world-class leader, for a world-class teacher to live in that kind of visible public pressure cooker and to not have one single moral blemish on his scorecard, that requires enormous strength. And so whatever you think of Jesus, whether you worship him as the Son of God or you're not sure, whatever you do, do not believe the pictures you see of some emaciated, starry-eyed, flaky character. I believe Jesus was the strongest person who ever walked the earth mentally, emotionally, morally. A strong person. Somebody worthy of admiration and respect. Somebody worthy of imitation. But not just strong, he was also sensitive. And this is an odd combination, don't you think? Because usually people of exceptional strength show little or no capacity for sensitivity. Most generals are high on the strength scale and low on the sensitivity scale. Powerful CEOs will stand up and say, "Gang, we've got to announce several layoffs, and we're going to lay off 50 people, 500 people, 5,000 people," and they often do it without even a tinge of emotion. It's strictly business. It's not personal. It's just business. We got to make the numbers work. Great strength and deep sensitivity rarely coexist in the same person, but they do in Jesus. The Bible records that when Jesus would travel and go into certain towns, he would stop and he would look over so many people who were living self-destructive lives. And he would say something like this. It's recorded in Matthew 9. He would look and he would have compassion on them and he would say, "Look at them. They're like sheep without a shepherd." And if ever you're in a jam and you need a Bible verse to quote, the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, let's all say it together. You ready? Jesus wept. The sensitivity of Jesus was sensitivity of another kind. It was a kind that the world up until that time had never experience, and still many people don't understand, and it makes some folks uncomfortable. His sensitivity knew no barriers, no color barrier, no gender barrier, no age barrier, no socioeconomic barrier. His sensitivity was unforced. It was so consistent, and it was universal. I suggest to you that Jesus was the strongest person who ever walked. Mentally, morally, emotionally, but incredibly sensitive. He had compassion. He wasn't looking to blame, he was looking to rescue. And the Bible says he didn't come to condemn, he came to heal. And here's a third word I would use to describe Jesus: simplicity. Simplicity. Despite his enormous following and his enormous popularity, he chose a simple lifestyle, and get this, a very focused lifestyle. Upon his death, he left no huge portfolio. He left one single earthly possession, a blood-stained robe. And the stains on that robe washed away your sins and mine. Jesus never lost sight of his focus, of his purpose, of his goal. In Luke chapter 19, he said it like this: "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." He said, "That's why I'm here. It's what I'm about. Loving God, loving people, serving the world." And so when you think of Jesus, I hope you think of him as a person of incredible strength, sensitivity, and simplicity. Now, it may be that the more you think of Jesus, you get an emotional reaction. And for many, their emotional reaction is as follows. You ready? Sadness. We're sad. Why? Because they're thinking, "I was born a couple of thousand years too late. What I wouldn't give to hang out with somebody like that. What I wouldn't give
to know Jesus. But the good news is, you really can know Him. In a very tangible way, you get to know Him through the Scriptures as you read the biographies, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here's what Jesus is all about. But through His Spirit, you can know Him anytime, any place, anywhere. You really can. And the more you get to know Him, here's what happens. His strength, when you get to know Jesus, a minister told me one time, he said, the greatest compliment I ever received in my life was intended as a criticism. When somebody walked out of the auditorium, they looked him in the eye and said, Jesus, 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 do you know anything other than Jesus? He said, that's the greatest compliment I ever received. The more you get to know Him, His strength will infuse the weak places in your life and mine. And the more you get to know Him, His sensitivity can infuse those places in my life where I'm crusty, where I'm unkind and cynical. And the more I get to know Him, you know, I have this tendency in my life to just get scattered and try to, you know, and get so complex and fragmented. But the more I get to know Him, He helps to bring more focus and order to my life. So that I don't need more and more and more, I need focus. You don't have to be sad that you can't know Jesus. You do. You know Him tangibly through the Scriptures, and anybody can know Him anytime, any place through His Spirit. And I would encourage you, if you've not done this in a while, just get a chair. I've done this before with new believers. Just get a chair. Put it down. Get a couple other chairs. There's two of us. Let's sit down and say, okay, now let's talk to Jesus. Let's just talk to Him. And it's going to feel odd. Well, listen, you got to decide whether or not you're a person of faith. You can walk by faith or you can walk by sight. Just talk to Jesus. And He can be the first person you speak with in the morning and the last person you say goodnight to. Let's go back to the Scripture that we read a couple of times earlier in our worship time, Luke chapter 9. This is Jesus inviting us to follow Him, to imitate Him. And here's what He has to say. He said, now, if anyone would come after Me, he needs to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Could you just look at those words, deny yourself? You know what that basically means? It means to just say to yourself, get out a mirror, look at it and say, I don't know that guy. I don't know him. I don't know Lord Ronnie. Remember what Peter did to Jesus? I don't know him. He denied him. That's what it means to deny yourself. I don't know me. I don't know my plans. I don't know my agenda. Get out the mirror, and the reflection in the mirror is going to be saying, hey, pay attention to me. I don't know you. Deny himself. Take up your cross daily. What does it mean to take up? You see somebody carrying a cross, where are they headed? They're headed to die. Take up your cross daily. In other words, just consider your plans, your agendas dead, and take on the agendas and the agenda and the plan of Christ. And the good news is you can do that daily. It's a daily thing. Don't let the emotional pains of yesterday thwart it. Don't let the failure of yesterday stop you from starting over today, because God's mercies are new every day. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But get this. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That is, you find yourself in following Jesus. You find out more about yourself. You find it more good things in following him. By saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, look, here's my home, here's my marriage, here's my checkbook, here are my hands, my feet, my mouth, here. It's all yours. You use it to honor yourself and further your purpose and your reputation. So, Christ invites, and then we make a choice whether or not to follow. Is it a rational decision to follow Jesus? Think of some really important decisions you've made. I think of my decision to marry Martha nearly 30 years ago. Was it a rational decision? No. Was it an irrational decision? No. It was an irrational decision. I thought it through, and I had, I think she passes this test and this test, and she likes me, and da-da-da-da-da. It wasn't rational. Neither was it irrational, but there was just something in me that said, I got to do this. And then we decided we wanted to have kids. Why? We were looking for ways to save money. That's why. So we thought we'd have kids. No. Or we thought, if we have kids, we'll sleep better at night. No. There was just something in us that said, we want to do this. You know why people follow Jesus? I don't mean go to church. I mean follow Jesus. They get invited. Jesus says, I'm inviting you to walk in my steps. And something inside says, I just got to do this. It's the best invitation ever. And you'll have fun with it. You'll find your life in following him. Okay, let's call it a day. Why don't we stand, please? I'd like to pray over us. And then we can all get back to following. Let's pray. God of grace, I pray with the Apostle Paul that this congregation may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. God, give us the courage of your Holy Spirit to turn away from lesser things and to turn away from our own reflections and to follow the most beautiful person ever. So strong, so sensitive, so focused. May we walk in his steps. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.